At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Christina Martinez. After years of growth, international student applications are down 6% at the University of Texas at Dallas. This is a big concern for UTD, where one in four undergraduates and half of grad students were born outside the U.S. It's part of a national trend. KERA's Stella Chavez will explore those numbers Tuesday on Morning Edition. You can find a Texas Tribune report on UTD's reaction at kerenews.org. Now to this week's State of the Arts conversation, and a woman who will make history when she arrives in Dallas. In January, Kim Noltemi will become the first female president and CEO of the Dallas Symphony. KERA's Jerome Weeks caught up with her by phone from Boston, where she's been the chief operating and communications officer.
You're coming to the Dallas Symphony at what may be a pivotal moment. Both of the leaders who've transformed the symphony in the past several years, CEO Jonathan Martin and conductor Jaap van Zweden, both will be gone. That looks like an opportunity, but it's also a gamble. You don't know who the next conductor will be, for instance. How much input will you have with that choice, and what are you looking for?
Well, I would say that, they are somewhat down the road in the process. So obviously I would love to have been involved from the very beginning, but who knew? I think both Jaap and Jonathan have done amazing things in the last number of years, and I hope to be able to elevate the awareness of all of this great work that has been done and engage the community at an even higher level and have everyone in Dallas feel like this is my orchestra.
Well, perhaps the most significant expertise you bring to Dallas is in new media, digital downloads, podcasts, internet TV. The DSO, frankly, has made only sporadic efforts in that area, while the Boston Symphony has the most visited website of any American orchestra. What's the secret formula for generating that kind of response to a classical orchestra?
Well, it's really a multi-pronged effort. You have to think about your different target audiences. So there's content that needs to be developed for the regular attendees, for the real devotees. And then you need to have a significant amount of content that brings new people in, that makes people feel like this is something for them, something that they want to try. And the mix of both of those is so important. Meanwhile, you have to make sure that you're not dumbing it down, that you're representing the appropriate quality of the musicians. And there's also a little bit of R&D. We really have to kind of try some things and pilot some things and see what has a good response. So, it's an iterative process.
That's still an issue across the board for classical music, the aging audience.
It's true, but it's not so much about the aging audience as it is that we as an industry haven't really found a way to regularly engage the younger audiences and to build the loyalty with them. It has become our job as an industry to teach people about what we do, why it matters, what they need to know before they go to a concert to enjoy it. We need to have, some of the extra bells and whistles that make the concert experience extra special for them, because basically we need people to be raving fans when they leave the hall so that we can get the buzz and excitement that we need and so that these same people will return again and again.
Kim Noltemi, thank you very much, and good luck.
Thank you so much, Jerome, and I look forward to meeting you soon.
You can listen to the full conversation between Jerome Weeks and Kim Noltemi at artandseek.org. If you're tired of hanging out at home with the family, we've got a special Friday edition of The Big Screen. Our team has some suggestions on what to see when you finally escape.
I'm Chris Wagner, culture critic for the Dallas Morning News.
And I'm Stephen Becker with KERA. And Chris, today I thought we would offer a little bit of a holiday movie preview. Chris, the first one that you wanted to talk about, this is actually out now, and it's called Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Yes.
Very clunkily titled.
One of the most awkwardly titled films of the year, but also one of the best films of the year. This is from Martin McDonagh. It's an Irish filmmaker who I sort of think of as the Irish Tarantino. I believe this is his best film, and it's looking at a lot of things that are happening in America right now, social injustice, women's rights, racism. It centers around a woman played by Frances McDormand, who is outraged that the rape and murder of her daughter has not been solved yet in this fictional town in Missouri.
And she becomes a real thorn in the side of the police chief of the town, who's played by Woody Harrelson.
If it was me, I'd start up a database. Every male baby that's born, stick him on it. And as soon as he'd done something wrong, cross-reference it, make 100% certain it was a correct match, then kill him.
Yeah, well, there's definitely civil rights laws prevents that.
Chris, I wanted to talk about a movie that you and I both enjoyed called Lady Bird. This is the directorial debut of Greta Gerwig. You know her from movies like Frances Ha and Mistress America. And in this movie, she taps a little bit into her childhood. It stars Saoirse Ronan as a high school senior growing up in Sacramento, California. She goes to a Catholic school, and she has an ongoing battle about just about anything with her mother, who's played by Laurie Metcalf.
I want to go where culture is,
but
like
how
New
in the
York,
world did I raise such
or
a
at least
snob.
Connecticut or New Hampshire,
well,
where writers live in the
get
woods.
Get into those schools anyway.
Mom!
You can't even pass your driver's test.
Because you wouldn't let me practice
the way
enough.
That you work, or the way that you don't work, you're not even worth state tuition, Christine.
It's a coming-of-age story, which I'm always in the tank for, but it's really a story of this girl finding herself and kind of ride that line between becoming her own person while also keeping in mind the path that brought her to where she is now.
Yeah, Stephen, it's one of my favorite films of the year. It's uncommonly wise and funny about what it's like to be a teenager.
Well, let's talk about a few movies that are coming out in the coming weeks. Chris, a movie you saw way back at the Venice Film Festival that you've been talking about ever since is The Shape of Water.
Yeah, this is the new movie from Guillermo del Toro. I actually think it's his best movie to date. It's a romantic monster movie about a mute woman, played by Sally Hawkins, who's fantastic, who falls in love with a sort of creature from the Black Lagoon kind of guy who is being kept at this top secret government facility. So it's sort of a Cold War monster movie romance, and I just found it kind of magical.
Well, Chris, the movie I want to talk about should come as no surprise, being as that we're both in the business, and that is The Post. This is the story of The Post's decision-making process about whether or not to publish the Pentagon Papers in the early 70s, which uncover a lot of the secrets of the Vietnam War. Meryl Streep plays Catherine Graham, who's the Post's publisher at the time, and Tom Hanks is the Post's editor, Ben Bradley. And this film seems timely as we are in this era of questioning the sources that we get our information from, biases that media outlets have, and whether or not the news is fake or real. This is a reminder of a time when particularly newspapers, but also the media at large, really did very important work in uncovering the darkest secrets of our government and informing the public. So a quick recap, Chris, if you're looking for something to see this weekend, we recommend Lady Bird or Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. And those movies to look forward to are The Post and The Shape of Water.
That was our big screen team, KERA Stephen Becker and Chris Wagner of the Dallas Morning News. As for the forecast, tonight it'll be mostly clear with a low around 50. It'll be sunny tomorrow with a high around 71. And Sunday will be about the same with a high around 70. This is KERA News at 6:30.